Blog Talk Radio.
The lot confess that the best of times got the worst of rhymes, and I don't think I'm the first to find my life devoted less to lyrics than it is to my struggle for Pyrrhic victory in the race to be the interwebs number one devotee. Yep, smutty little things that occur on screen.
Little MC front a lot there for you this morning, the ultimate geek. Yay! Carl Solenfield, yay! Nerdcore up in this piece.
Nerdcore, baby, nerdcore.
Somebody ran in the ginger.
Oh, yeah, you did update it. Sweet. Awesome. I was thinking, oh, crap, I did change that late last night. Streamed some Minecraft last night.
I saw. I was so exhausted. I was trying to watch, and then my little eyes closed up, so I had to get up and leave my desk before I face planted into the keyboard.
Face turned up.
Hmm?
I said, were you there when, what was his name?
No.
The guy, the one who's always arguing with us, he turned up.
Our arch nemesis size. Yeah. No, I don't know who was there. I don't know. I had a wave of exhaustion just come over me last night. I was up and I was fine because I had my stuff ready to do my, my Parisian collection there. And I can't tell you what happened. I don't remember most of yesterday, actually. I was telling Zandy, after we did the show yesterday, I have a big blank spot. I just spaced completely out. I was gone. I was on autopilot.
Well, after the show, I went and got some stuff that I was going to do for the store.
Mm-hmm.
And for people are like, what the hell are y'all talking about? We've got a digital store inside Second Life we run. Anyways, I got some stuff I was going to do, and then I got to looking at it, and I was looking at the layout, because you know you got to look at it. You got to kind of plan. And next thing I know, I was like, F this. I closed it all out, and I went to bed. And I slept until, like, hell, probably around 8 o'clock, and then I woke back up, and I was like, all right, I'm a little bit awake. I'm going to get some food. And, yeah, then I sat there and played Minecraft for a while.
See, I saw when you came online, and then I saw when you went live, because I was getting ready to watch you. I was going, you know, do the dresses and watch a little ginger, and it did not work out that way.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling all the great anyway, so I wasn't all that talkative. I was just, man.
I was like, just watch it. Shut up.
Pretty much. I was like, look, this is what I'm doing.
Watch it and shut up. All right. Oh, man. There's a little bit of interesting things going on around the gaming community. One of these things, I just posted this on Twitter. You have to listen to us Thursday night. We have so much interesting stuff to talk about, not just the printer gun. And I actually, okay, I did catch this last night before I dozed off. I love watching Bill Maher because he's one of my favorite comedians.
Uh-huh.
And I know he's strange looking, but for some reason I find him attractive. go figure.
No, he's strange looking, but.
Well, he's an odd looking guy, but I find him kind of attractive for some reason. Maybe it's because he makes me laugh, you know. Girls like guys who make them laugh, but he makes me laugh. But he was saying that, and we'll probably talk about this Thursday, that he thinks that we should stop calling it a printer because it's not actually a printer. He said it kind of implies something else, that is, you know, like people, when you say printer, they think of paper. So he says, first of all, they need to change the name. Stop calling it a 3D printer. It doesn't actually print the way paper does. So that's something we may get into Thursday night. Also, Thursday night, we have to talk about this. Have you noticed all of our old school heavy hitters in the gaming community, the Sid Meier's and Will Wright and Warren Spector, all of them have been like kind of stepping out of the wherever the hell they've been hiding, and now they're giving their opinions on what they think about the gaming world. And some of them are actually making new games. Basically, they're telling you young guys, you Zengas and stuff that are creating these messed up games.
It's like, y'all effed it up. Now,
that's right. Let me get out of the way. Let me fix it. Exactly. So we'll be talking about that Thursday night. That's going to be fun because there's been some stuff said. Ooh, juicy.
Some shade thrown.
It's not even shade. They don't even have to throw shade. The people I just named off, that's like, you know, the gaming royal court. You got it. You know who Sid Meier is, Civilization. You know who Will Wright is, The Sims. You got Warren Spector. Warren Spector made some comments about Metacritic that, ooh, juicy. But you got to listen Thursday. Ooh, delicious. Okay, so then we got to get to news now that I have plugged our Thursday night show. Oh, and
I'm making weird noises. My ears itching. There we go.
Make sure you also listen tonight. We may or may not have a special guest, somebody we were going
She's
on
with. She's so awesome. I love her.
I forgot. They weren't on with us. This is right after the show. Ginger showed me something. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I hope she can make it. I hope she can make
She's
it. For Pixie.
Amazing. I love her. I love her.
Yes, you guys that have geek girlfriends.
She's so darn cute.
She's adorable. But you guys have geek girlfriends. You've got to be watching and listening to Pixinista tonight if we can get her on. And most likely I'll announce it if we get her, if she can free up her busy schedule. She makes some amazing geek-tacular things that your girlfriends will love.
Okay. Oh, she's killing me. All right, so.
Who's killing you? Are you going first? Tag.
Tag, it's me. It's my turn.
Tag.
All right, Nintendo of Japan.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. All right, so I'm pulling this from our frenemies over at Kotaku. This got pulled from Game Politics. But anyways. Nintendo of Japan patches out same-sex relationships in Tomodachi Collection New Life. Yeah, apparently same-sex relationships enjoyed by male characters in the Japanese game Tomodachi Collection New Life have been patched out. Last week, it came to light that male characters in the cutesy Japanese life sim for the 3DS could have relationships with each other. Nintendo promised a patch, but many had hoped that the game would patch those same kinds of relationships for females into the game. Apparently, Nintendo said, no. They saw this as a bug and not a feature.
They had the chance to do something amazing, and
they
messed
dropped
it up.
The ball. So the new patch note says, the inability to boot up the game, error messages, human relations that become strange. So apparently same-sex relationships are human relationships that can become strange. Some Japanese gamers on Twitter are urging players who want to keep those same-sex relationships to avoid patching the game. Nintendo has not publicly commented on the update or the same-sex relationships.
So you can't avoid patching if you want it.
Yeah, you can't avoid patching. It may not fix other things that are broken with the game. You know, still just have to deal with a broken game in general, but you'll be able to have...
That's messed up.
Yeah. On one hand, I want to say, oh my God, I hate this. And I do. Don't get me wrong. Let me back up. I hate this, and I think this is wrong. I think Nintendo had a chance, as Corey said, to do something amazing here, and they did not do it. But the Japanese culture... is a little bit different than ours. And I can't hate on them for their culture. That's their culture. I don't agree with it. That's fine. I'm sure there are plenty of things over here they do not agree with our culture.
You know.
I don't like it. I don't understand it. But it's theirs.
Well, this is the same people that think it's okay to have little girls in, you know, schoolgirl skirts and pigtails and things, and you're...
Same culture thinks it's okay to kill little girls because, you know, only one child thing.
Jeez.
Wait, so trying to... Understand.
Y'all do understand how this works? If you kill off the girls, there will be no more children? Do you understand how that works?
Well, they're having that issue now.
See? That's what happens. You don't value what's valuable. Oof. Man. There. That's... I want to. I'm still. Oh, look, I'm still on the advertising side. I want
I
to get some
not
love out.
I have not gotten to that one yet. Let me see what I can scrape up for you, Frito.
What's he want to know about?
The DLC for Gears of War Judgment.
Oh man, we may get around to it. We may get around to it. First, I want to give some love to Sophie over at Sophie's blog, Sophie Holden, SophieHolden.com, who is an indie game developer contractor. I just want to give some love to her. You do good work, really good work. Really nice work. Mm. If you haven't seen her gaming art, you got to go check it out. And if you are an indie, you know, up-and-coming indie developer, you want to get into indie, I think she'd be a good person for you to work with. So hello to you, Sophie. Those of you who are looking for something new to play, from Natsumi Runes Factory, Tides of Destiny is out on the PlayStation Store today. They've launched the next entry into the series of digital releases for the PlayStation Network. It was originally released in 2011, Rune Factory Tides of Destiny is the sole entry of the Rune Factory series on the PlayStation 3. Tides of Destiny's launch continues a year-long campaign that was promised during E3 2012 to provide numerous classic Natsumi titles on the PSN, a promise which will extend to this year's E3 showing. Y'all know it's getting close, right? Rune Factory, the Tides of Destiny, have been a fan favorite since its launch and has been requested addition to their digital catalog. This is from Hiro Makaiwa, who's the president and CEO of Natsumi. He says, we're very excited to show the media the fruit of last past year's promise to provide more digital titles at next month's E3 Expo. Aiden and Sonya, two lifelong friends, live a tranquil life on Finnis Island until they are struck by a mysterious curse. They awaken to find both of their souls are now trapped in the same body. Could be interesting. On top of this unusual calamity, the Japanese don't generally like that. So we can't have same-sex marriages, but we can put the same people. Anyway. Okay, so the Finnis Island, they knew
was
the
same ones that came out with that Catherine game or whatever it was, the psycho girlfriend.
I don't know. Natsumi's a very odd but creative bunch. At least they're trying to do something different, not giving that much credit. I don't know if it's different, something that I want to try, but... Or maybe this one might be interesting to see what happens. Of course, they say only by exploring the new world you'll be able to solve the mystery of this curse and save your beloved island. During the course of your journey, Aiden and Sonya will be aided by a colorful cast of characters as well as take command of a towering golem, Ymir. Using your newfound giant friend, you can cross vast seas, discover hidden islands and dungeons packed with riches, and battle fearsome monsters of the deep. You can also follow the latest news for all of the beloved Natsumi franchises, including more of what to expect during their yearly trek to E3. Yay! You can go over to their Facebook, natsumi.com/Facebook, or follow them on Twitter. I know you're saying, how can I find them on Facebook? Because Corey talks way too fast. Well, you go over to our Facebook page, because I just like them. Camera Girls Radio.
Yay!
They make some very odd... Well, you know what? Natsumi is the mind behind Harvest Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And Harvest Moon is very fun, but it is a little off.
I've never played, but you rave about it. So.
Dude, they got fishing in Harvest Moon and farming and relationships and stuff. I don't think... It's not a... If you're very much into Twitch gaming where you need constant adrenaline rush when you play, you're not going to enjoy it. But I'm a very well-rounded gamer. Sometimes I like quiet. I want to sit and – I treat my games like books. I want to sit and get immersed in this world and roam around and click on things. And you got to give me a lot. You know, that's why I get pissed off at the Facebook games. There's not a lot to do in Facebook. Once I'm done, you know, talking to this one character, is like nothing else does anything else. So, but you got to try Harvest Moon. Will you get your Wii U, Ginger? Make this one of the first ones you pick up. I'm going to be jealous of you as Animal Crossing for a while. Don't be calling me and talking about them. Sending me videos. Look at me fishing. Look how you do it with the Wii U.
You know you love it.
Mm-mm, I'm going to cut you. I'm gonna come all the way up there just to cut you.
Don't you do it. All right, so I need the music. I need the music.
Oh, what's your music?
Zombie.
Oh, wait. Give me a moment to cue that up for you. And cue the music, zombies.
There it goes. All right. Okay, people out there, what did we say? Stay away from those bastards. What did we say? Nobody ever listens. California man said he fled zombies. Pleading guilty. A Tennessee man who stole a big rig truck in California caused several accidents and told investigators he was fleeing the Walking Dead.
He was fleeing the Walking Dead?
Yeah. He's pled guilty to several felonies. Jeremiah Hartline pled guilty Monday to assault with a deadly weapon, hit and run, causing death or injury, and vehicle theft. He could get up to 5 years in prison. The California Highway Patrol says Hartline stowed away in the truck in Tennessee and stole it when the driver got out and at the roadside scales near Temecula, California. CHP says after Hartline caused several crashes, the big rig overturned on Interstate 15 and spilled its load of strawberries. Poor strawberries. Seven people were injured. He told investigators that he had to speed and swerve because he was fleeing from the Walking Dead. Stay away from bath salt! Stop. I don't know what y'all are smoking. In Tennessee, that's a whole nother... That could be a whole planet all to itself, man. There are some freaky people out there in Tennessee. But
And as we say in Texas, you ain't never lied when you say that. You ain't never lied. People in Tennessee are strange.
It's crazy.
Not all of you, but some of you are. Woo.
Yeah. All right, let me get this set up because I got to show a video on the other screen.
Wait, while you're doing that, let me tell you how strange people in Tennessee are. I talked to a man yesterday that says his internet was not working, and then when I asked him how his lights were looking on his modem, he says, oh, that's not plugged up.
What?
I said, he says, I don't have any internet. My internet's not working. I says, okay, well, tell me which lights are on your modem. And he said, oh, that's not plugged in. That would be why you don't have internet, crazy man. Oh, you got to keep that box plugged in all the time. I thought it was wireless.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, you Tennessee. Oh, people from Tennessee, odd.
Yeah, it's true. I've got family there, unfortunately. And
me too.
Every time I go visit, it's just wow. All right, so since Frito asked for it, I went and found it because, hey, I'm awesome like that.
Woo!
Gears of War Judgment delivers the most intense and challenging Gears of War game yet with a campaign that takes you back to the immediate aftermath of Emergency
back.
Day. The defining event of the Gears of War universe for the very first time and test your mettle in highly competitive new multiplayer modes. It's releasing today on the 14th, people, so it's out today.
Get it.
Set years before the events of the previous Gears of War trilogy, Judgment centers on Kilo Squad, a troop of soldiers led by Damon Baird and Augustus the Coltrane Cole. They are joined by newcomers to the Gears series, Sophia Hendricks and Garen Paddock? Anyway, as they attempt to save the besieged city of Halvo Bay from a terrifying new enemy. Yay! All right, so as always, Gears of War games, Judgment delivers intense co-op gameplay. You can play cooperatively with up to 3 friends on Xbox Live, blah, 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 blah. Gears of War Judgment also introduces a new smart spawn system, the S3, for both campaign and multiplayer action. Hey, and that video was awfully short. Oh, it's only 11 seconds long. All right, well, I'm just going to pause it right there. Anyways, where was I? The new system ensures that each encounter is unique and new because types, timing, and locations of enemies change with each new encounter. That's kind of cool. Gears of War Judgment introduces Gears players to brand new multiplayer experience like Overrun, which is a thrilling new class-based competitive mode that pits Locust and Cog soldiers in a head-to-head battle unlike anything Gears fans have experienced yet. Overrun is an objective-oriented mode that lets 5-player teams alternate between playing as Locust and Cog soldiers and marks the first time that their class-based competitive multiplayer experience has been introduced in the Gears of War series, amping up the addictive gameplay with a deep player progression system layered on top of the experience. They do say there are going to be additional game modes that are going to be announced at a later time. I do not have those right now. This is an old press release that I got my hands on because they're saying it'll be released sometime in early 2013. And it's being released today. So there may be more news. Apparently this came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! And I even went to the Gears of War website and was looking at this. And that's
bad gear.
All right, so
that's
probably more news that I do not have for you, Frito. I'm sorry. I tried, and I'll look to see if I can find anything else. Personally, to me, Gears of War is another Halo. I haven't played it yet. It's on my list of to-do things.
I found it to be a little bit clunky, personally, so I kind of not interested in playing it more than I did. Sorry, you Gears heads. It didn't do it for me. I had enough Halo. I'm sorry. I can't do these 5 and 6 iterations of games, even ones I really, really like. Like, I love Vegas. I can't think of the name of it right now. You know what I'm talking about. It's the other first-person shooter that most people kind of shy away from. I love that series, but I cannot play every iteration. I have to play every other one. I just get bored. I can only shoot you in the face so many times before it's not funny anymore.
It's true. Last time I played Gears, there was nothing but bots playing hard to find a game versus other players. True. Yeah, that's yeah. And honestly, and I know I'm comparing Gears of War to Halo, and I was so excited for the new Halo and had RTX last year. I was so excited to play, even though I sucked because I do not play Halo PvP. No, I usually just play the story, so I got my just butt stomped that entire time at RTX. But I was so excited about the new Halo. And an honest confession here, I'm going to be stabbed. I've not played. Maybe I'll do that this week. I've got a week off from school. Maybe I'll take myself downtown and rinse it and check it out, because I've not played it yet.
I wish I could say I was shocked, but even when you were playing, after you were playing for a few minutes, I noticed you came out of the high register, so I knew that you were not all that.
I was not impressed. It looked like, oh, good God, what is that other one? It's got all the lifts, throws you around as you're shooting and you're playing. It's, I can't think of it. Oh, crap. I'll think of it later. The new Halo came out. New Halo came out several months ago, so it's already out. It's out.
Yep. It is.
I don't know about any new ones. I've not heard any rumblings about it. I'm hoping they're going to let it just retire and stop.
I don't think they are, and I really wish they would leave it alone. The original group, and it's the same as I say with sports teams. If you got a winning team, you can only win so many championships with that team before if you start trading people out, you don't have the same team anymore. They don't have that same, what do you call it, that same bond, that same almost psychic-like connection to pull together this beautiful thing. Those people are gone. They were not the same people. And 343, excellent group of guys. Cute, whatever have you. Nice, sweet. I got pictures and all kinds of signed good stuff, but I just knew this was not going to work out well. Matter of fact, I think they were saying they were closing the Halo servers little by little. So some of you out there are still trying to play, and I'm sure Bungie is appreciating your loyalty, but it's not Bungie that did it. None of them were there. This was a whole other company. Not the same vision. But I didn't see anything different when we were at RTX that I don't always see in Halo. I didn't see anything that made me go, wow, I got to play that. Anyways,
what happened was,
I see pixel people.
You see pixel people?
Yes, developer Lamdmu has cited its partnership with publisher Chillingo, who is also one of my favorite companies. Ginger hasn't played any of their games yet. I love them. They're saying that they're the key to the success of their iOS title, Pixel People. The game has achieved 2 million downloads and $700,000 in revenue in 3 months since it's launched. Woof! Speaking to TechCrunch, CEO Ivan Liu said the decision to work with Chillingo was driven by the need for a huge PR splash. The decision was a good one. The game secured 1 million downloads 2 weeks after launch. Interestingly, Chief Creative Officer Abershek Smith, added it. I got your first name out. I wasn't going to even try that last name. He added that success may mean that the next Lamdmu game may not need a publisher at all. He says, even if people don't know Lamdmu, we say from the makers of Pixel People on the next game's splash screen. Lamdmu Games is based in Singapore and is currently focused only on iOS titles. Its other games include Infinite is how it's actually spelled, like it's Infinite, Dice Soccer, and Crazy Critters. And, of course, they're working with Chillingo, who put out my favorite, only game I really like on iOS, which is Order Up. If you have not played Order Up, got to play Order Up. Or go check it. I don't think they have an online version. I wish they did. I'm going to gripe at them, I think. Dude, do you know how much I love Order Up and I can't play it on my droid?
No. I didn't know you couldn't play it on your droid.
No, you can't. I'd be playing now. I love me some Order Up, okay? I don't like cooking in real life, but I will cook on that game, mostly because it's just hilarious. Just love it.
I'm having an issue here. There we go. I'm trying to fix it.
You trying to fix it?
Updated, and it screwed up everything. Because I had, like, the whole little plate for it and everything, and it's not wanting to fit now, and I'm all like, what are you doing?
You're so mean. Oh, so mean.
There you go. So if you're looking at Twitch, Corey, I've got nudie pictures of your man.
Oh, hey there, boy. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, Link.
Ohio man gets 1 year of house arrest for parts and PSN security breach. anybody even remember this? This was like a year and a half ago now. The Columbus Dispatch is reporting that 23-year-old Todd M. Miller has been sentenced to 1 year of house arrest for his part in the 2008. Oh God! So that was 5 years ago. Five.
Wow! Wow!
2008 security breach of Sony's PlayStation Network. Miller wasn't convicted on charges directly related to the hacking, but for destroying computers the FBI was interested in investigating related to the crime. Miller was sentenced last week. According to the Dispatch report, the FBI spoke with Miller in 2011. After the initial visit, they returned to his home to find that Miller had destroyed his computers, including what the FBI categorized as important information on the computer's hard drive.
Wow.
On the computers, the FBI did not have enough evidence to pursue hacking charges against Miller, as well as another unnamed Columbus man. Wow. U.S. District Court Judge Peter C. Economus. I'm not even kidding you. Economus is his last name.
That's a cool name, though.
Yeah, I know, right? Sentenced Miller to 1 year of house arrest, 3 years probation, and required him to get a high school equivalency diploma. Miller dodged a bullet because he could have been sentenced to up to 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. But you do not F with the FBI. On the other hand, seeing the way that they've treated these hackers, I would have destroyed them too. You would have found those things in pieces. There would have been magnets everywhere. Because
that's not right.
Yes, because they put those other hackers in prison for life. I'll take 3 years probation, thanks. And you ain't gonna find nothing. You ain't gonna have no evidence. Because, yeah, I'm gonna be wearing it as jewelry. It's gonna be ruined. No? Corey got all quiet.
That would be because I muted myself because I was choking when I started laughing. Oh, my God. Only you would break up the evidence and wear it as jewelry.
I totally would. I'd be like,
I'm going to eat mine. I'm going to eat mine and put some milk over it when they come in. I'm going to be crunching. What you eating, microchips?
Fiber.
I bet you it does. And stomachs can digest anything, just about our stomach acid. So good luck getting it out of there. We're going to make you throw up. I don't think you are.
That one was short. Can I do another one?
Of course, darling. But of course.
All right. The ESRB is warning a company about users in the ESRB. Anyways, ESRB warns WarToon's publisher, and they put publisher in quotes there, about using AO rating in their marketing campaign. I've never heard of the AO rating. Apparently,
adults only.
Adults only. Mm-hmm. An online marketing campaign for the free-to-play MMO game WarToon has caught the attention of the ESRB, who claims that it has asked the game's publisher to stop claiming that it has an ESRB adults-only AO rating. The game has yet to be rated by the board. Oh, see, so that makes more sense. We have advised the game's publishers they must discontinue their unauthorized use of our AO rating icon on its marketing. Even if the game did have an AO rating, the marketing campaign that has appeared on such popular websites as Major Nelson's blog and through Google's AdSense network violates the ESRB's,
Major Nelson, oops.
Yep. It violates the ESRB's advertising guidelines, which prohibit exploiting a game's ratings. WarToon's advertising campaign features the AO rating symbol and the tagline, Adult Gamers Only. While it's fairly rare for a game to self-apply a rating that we will always move... quickly to address the issue, says ESRB representative. They didn't give us a name. Never mind. Our goal is, of course, that they immediately stop using the rating. If a game is digitally distributed, we also encourage companies to use our digital rating service, which is fast, easy, and assigns ratings without the developer having to pay a fee. The question mark, of course, is, they're asking, who exactly did the ESRB contact to deliver its ultimatum? The game is apparently published in multiple online game portals, including Kabam, Kongregate, Armor Games, In Games, R2 Games, and Proficient City Limited. The game is developed by China-based Seven Road, who's probably like, who did ESRB? Who did? Who did?
Well, they don't have to deal with the ESRB. They have their own rating system over there. So maybe, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I'm still irritated that the ESRB cannot, they're not, you know, you're mad about this. Why aren't you saying anything to Facebook and Apple and even Droid, Google and all them, making them rate their games. Because as much as I do love the Adult Swim games, there's one or two of them on Facebook that should not be played by kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make the argument, if you want, that the kids shouldn't be on Facebook. Sometimes parents walk away, and the kid's like, oh, what's that? Click, and bam. Or the parent may let them play, not even knowing that there's adult content.
We shouldn't let kids play video games. Should make them go outside.
Who said
like,
that?
What?
Who said that?
Oh, what's his name? What's his face? The one who's always arguing with me.
Well, I don't mind them going outside, but sometimes it's raining. They got to have something to do when they're in the house.
Well, I'll tell you that later. We were arguing about Nintendo and the whole social system and blah, 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 blah. It started with talking about motion games and how we don't need them. I was like, well, kids like to play them. Well, kids should be playing video games.
Well, that's the world we're going to grow up in.
You grew up playing video games. That's how we all became gamers.
Yep, that's how we created a whole subset of human.
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That's how it should go. I'm just saying. All right, new game on the horizon.
Ooh.
Well, she's not really new. Calixa, the Codebreaker.
I haven't heard of this. Is it any good?
Calixa, I'm gonna shoot you a trailer here. I don't really know if it's any good, but I figured I'd mention it. It's a lovely girl avatar. Her backside's a little too... Well, no, I can't say that. Kind of looks like my backside. But anyway, currently Calixa Codebreaker... I found somebody made me jealous yesterday. Anyway, I'll tell you about that later. Calixa Codebreaker is a world-famous thief. She robs banks from town to town across Europe. She has to break codes harder and harder to unlock. Fogo Games is proud to present to you their very first game, or actually his first game, because he is an indie developer. One person did this, by the way. Calixa Codebreaker, a new puzzle game worth math.
Yay, she's a redhead!
Yes, math is tinged with logic. You'll play Calixa, a famous robber chased by the police. Your mission, breaking the codes to unlock safes. But be careful, you'll have to be quick and efficient because police is on edge. You'll have to open the safes before you're caught. The gameplay is simple and addictive. In concrete terms, you'll be facing a combination made of several rings of numbers. You have to swap the blocks of numbers on the exterior ring so that their sum equals the number on the interior ring. Okay, that is math, and that is all kinds of hot there, Fagwo. Love you.
No, I do not want this. It's yours. I don't want it.
You don't want it? Why?
No, it's math. No.
Oh, come on. You can do it. It's easy. Of course, operations will become more difficult as levels increase, so expect more rings, subtractions, and multipliers. In Calixa, you'll have more than 100 safes to unlock. Safe spreading over 9 different cities, harder combinations as you pass levels, hidden cities.
Welcome back, lady.
I hate you, Comcast. I hate you.
I know, right?
Anyway, at least I'm back.
Well, now you're back. Let me finish what up, because I went ahead and jumped into another one.
All right.
It's going to be video games movie. It's going to be directed by Jeremy Sneed. A video games movie will tackle the new hot button topics, including video games, the correlation between video games and violence, the exploration and elevation of video games as an art form, next generation and future generation gaming, and the negative stereotypes that continue to plague the industry despite its popularity and commercial success. This is amazing. So if you want to help it out, like I said, it's got a Kickstarter. So far, they've got 45 backers. They've raised $7,728. They are looking for a $60,000 goal. 34 days to go. This actually sounds really interesting to me. I might go throw some money at it because I think I want to see this. I do. I'm sure it won't ever hit the theaters where I'm at. Ooh, this is happening in Dallas, Texas, you said. Really? Well, that's not very far. I might drive to Dallas to see it then. But anyways, this is kind of cool. Like I said, it's going to have Cliffy B, Chris Hardwick, Nolan Bushnell, Randy Pitchford, and more.
Yeah, so, we have it up on our site. Yay! If you want to go and read more.
Awesome. Yes, yes, yes. Video game, the movie.
Well, they got some girls in there. Which
yeah.
We have all the girls up on our site, so. That's because that's how we roll. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, by the way, that game I was talking about that I was so rudely interrupted when I was sharing
Calixa,
with you.
Calixa, the Codebreaker.
Yeah, Calixa, the Codebreaker, is available on Droid right now. She's not available on iOS or iPad just yet.
Is she free?
I don't know.
Is she free or did she charge for it?
Ginger, she's a redhead.
What?
Of course she charges for it.
I just saw that one coming.
All right.
Corey?
I just muted myself. Yeah, that was me that time.
Oh, okay. Thank God. Did she just crash again?
No, thank God. Yeah. So, anyway, Ubisoft is currently working on a prototype, or they're currently prototyping a sequel to their very well-received Wii U survival horror game, Zombie U. I'm trying to see if I can get this trailer from my peoples over here, but they don't want to give me. They don't want to give it up. You'll have to go find your own trailer name. Sorry.
My mind is in the gutter today. I had to stop.
I see that. I see. You're a bad, bad ginger. What are we going to do with you? Of course, this is according to Ubisoft Montpellier, Jean-Philippe. You know what, Jean-Philippe? That's just a little bit loud, Jean-Philippe. Jean-Philippe Caro, who mentioned the project to a fan via Twitter. It was spotted by NeoGAF. He says, thank you for your interest in Zombie U. Having been questioned about the likelihood of a sequel, he said the team is working hard on a prototype. It's too soon to tell you more. The project is merely being prototyped, suggests that the game has yet to be formally greenlit, something Ubisoft has since confirmed to Eurogamer. Our teams are constantly working on creating and developing ideas. A spokesperson told us, we have nothing further to share at this moment. Zombie U Studio, Ubisoft Montpellier, is also responsible for Rayman Legends, which is Miguel Ansel's colorful Wii U platformer that was delayed, so accompanying PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions could be built. I hate that game. The Give Studio is also home to on-again, off-again development of Beyond Good and Evil 2. In the absence of any recent developers on that project and the fact that Rayman Legends is largely finished, a Zombie U sequel seems a good fit for the studio's next project. So we don't know what's going on with the Beyond Good and Evil. We're going to have to get on their butts and make them do it. On the other side of things, Metro last night, which I like the trailer. I don't know if I like the game, but apparently you can get the limited edition now, and there's limited supply. So, and it's rated M, so you young ones, don't do it. Don't do it. But you can get the limited edition now while supplies last. So if you don't get it now, you don't get it. Ginger, back to you. Traffic?
Back to me. I'm sorry. I came across a story I was reading. I was trying to see how I could fit it in. I can't, so.
Yeah, fit it in? That's what she said.
nice. Vice President, Mr. Biden, shut up, sees no legal hurdles in enacting syntax on violent media. Vice President Joe Biden thinks that it would be perfectly okay to tax violent video games. During a recent meeting to talk about strategy for enacting the president's proposed gun legislation, Biden said that an idea floated by Reverend Franklin Graham in late April. I'm sorry, let me stop right there. Anybody who floats an idea for legislation that has Reverend in front of his name should sit down and shut up. Sorry, no. Anyways. In late April, to tax violent media, and he says it might be a good idea. Participants in the session told Politico that Mr. Biden says there's no restriction on the ability to do that. There's no legal reason why they couldn't. Except that, you know, game politics wants to point out that U.S. Constitution and multiple rulings found by the Supreme Court, including a little case called Brown versus EMA, says, oh, no, you can't! Reverend Graham, the son of Reverend Billy Graham, said that a syntax could be applied to violent media and the funds could be used to help victims of violent crimes, including guns. Clearly, the younger Graham is not like his father, who almost always avoided getting involved in politics. I've got a better idea. You know what? How about we tax churches? That'd be a good one. We'd be out of debt in no time. Let's tax churches instead. You know what? Soapbox. I can't do it. Thursday night, I'm going to talk about this. Because this irritates me. Taxing my video games. No. Let's tax your coffers, dude. All right. Corey is either muted or something. So I'm just.
I am not. And I have some, okay, I have two short stories. Two.
What you got?
First of all, it is somebody's birthday.
Whose birthday is it?
It's a birthday today. First, we got to do the birthday song for them first before I say
happy
it.
Birthday, yep. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my God. I can't stop it. Wait, let me try this one. Let me see if that was better.
Mr. President.
Oh, I don't like that one either. Okay, so happy birthday to you, Atari.
Yay! Happy birthday, Atari.
Well, no, more specifically, Atari's Breakout. It's their 37th birthday. Remember that game where you had the paddle, you slid along the bottom of the screen, and you would bounce the balls back up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is Breakout, and it is officially 37 years old today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, an odd birthday for Google to decide to celebrate. Perhaps it's running out of ideas, but Google says... To see how you type Atari Breakout into your Google image search box, and then you get the Google Doodle, which is the game. The game was released originally in 1976, and according to Eurogamer, it's when people wore flares. Elton John and Kiki D didn't want to break each other's hearts. It was Apple's late Steve Jobs, no less, tasked with creating the prototype for this game, which he would do with Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak. But Breakout would go on to earn a historic 8 out of 10 from Eurogamer later that same year. 8 out of 10 for a ball bouncing up to the screen and hitting blocks.
Interesting. All right, so next story. Sorry, I was reading something. I keep coming across some cool stuff, and I want to figure out how I can apply it to gaming, and I just can't. So anyways, NVIDIA did a launch shield in June for $349.
I was just about to talk about that one.
NVIDIA, yeah. Today announced the pricing. And NVIDIA, I'm going to have to say, no, ma'am. NVIDIA today announced pricing and a release window for its handheld console system, the Project Shield, simply being called Shield from now on. The system will cost almost as much as the Wii U, and it's surprising, given that its other Android-based competitors like the GameStick and Ouya are priced at right around $100. NVIDIA says that it plans to release Shield in the month of June for a retail price of $349. It's going to be sold in Newegg, GameStop, Micro Center, and Canada Computers. Pre-orders are going to go live on May 20th to the general public. But those who signed up to receive Shield updates by clicking Notify Me on the Shield website will have an exclusive opportunity to pre-order starting today. NVIDIA says that Shield will offer following specs. Tegra 4, the world's fastest mobile processors, delivers rich graphics and unbeatable performance thanks to 72 GPU cores, 4 CPU cores, and 2 gigabytes of RAM. Dude, that's like a computer in your hand right there. That's like a desktop in your, well, you know, small one. Console grade controller, precise control thanks to dual analog joysticks, a full size D pad, left and right analog triggers, full sized bumpers, and ABXY buttons. Multi-touch display, 5-inch, 720p retinal multi-tooth display for high fidelity visuals. Integrated speakers. Custom bass reflex, tuned port audio system, Wi-Fi, 802.11n, 2x2, MIMO, GameSpeed Wi-Fi for game streaming, Pure Android, the latest Android Jelly Bean operating system from Google for access to Android games and apps. And wait, there's more! We put into Shield everything we want in a premium mobile gaming device. 16 gigabytes of memory, GPS, Bluetooth 3.0, a mini HDMI output, micro USB 2.0, a micro SD storage slot, a 3.5mm stereo headphone jack. Wow, this thing, they've been some serious business. You know, I was going to make fun of that price, but $400 for that? Not bad. That's sexy right there. That's... I want to know the exact size, and I want to see somebody holding it.
Stop it!
NVIDIA, you know, just for smaller gamers out there, you may need to send me one so that I can test it out to make sure those of us with tiny hands can play this.
Stop!
Just saying, I will do this from the goodness of my heart. the goodness of my heart. I won't even charge you, but I may keep the shield.
I have to charge my milkshake. I'm sorry.
This is hot. I want it. I kind of want it. I wonder what games they're going to get. Well, I mean, are they going to get any dedicated games? I need to know this.
I don't know. I think the lovely peoples at Europe have sent us a picture of the Thief, the new character. His name is Garrett. Garrett is effing hot. I may post that up on Facebook a little bit later.
Really?
Garrett. I may need some syrup. Not syrup, because in the South, when it's serious, it is syrup. All right. On the other end of the spectrum, speaking of spectrums, Mickey Mouse is headed up to Austin.
Is he cheating on Minnie?
Nope, he's coming to Austin.
He's coming to Austin? How is Mickey coming to Austin?
Not him specifically. I'm teasing. The University of Texas at Austin has created a new video game program, the Denius Sams Gaming Academy, and they've got none other than Warren Spector and Paul Sams, creators of Epic Mickey and Blizzard veteran, to be part-time instructors. So, you know, Ginger and I will be heading down there. There will be some lap sitting going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying by combining the best professors with some of the gaming industry's top minds and contributors, the University of Texas will immediately establish itself on the cutting edge of gaming, design, technology, and the gaming industry. That's from co-founder Wolford Denius. He says, but even more importantly, the Denius Sams Gaming Design Academy will help our students by enhancing their marketability and providing them with unique leadership skills to advance as leaders in their employment and in the gaming industry. The year-long course will see students work in teams to create a game from start to finish, earning them a post-baccalaureate certificate. I love that word, baccalaureate, baccalaureate. Go figure. What differentiates the Denius Sams Gaming Academy is that it will focus inexplicitly on the bigger creative leadership aspects of game development, on the management and production side, and the creative leadership side, said Spector. This is a space that's not being filled by other programs, and he's very absolutely correct, and it will make the Academy unique. Spector will also join the Academy's advisory board as a co-chair. He is a game designer with more than 30 years in the industry. He's worked on titles like System Shock, Deus Ex. Yes, that game we are all like, oh my God, it's amazing. I have to put it down because I have to eat. And Epic Mickey. He's also a columnist for our friends over at GI International. And he looks like he's just the sweetest old guy. I think he would blush if we sat on his lap. He says, Susan and I believe the University of Texas at Austin has a tremendous track record of building nationally recognized programs that generate the leaders and critical thinkers of the gaming industry needs. He says the program will focus on building the skills required for students to lead teams and develop games from concept to completion while growing talent for the gaming industry. I like this idea, and you're so close by.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did we tell you that one of the guys at EA, one of the big wigs at EA, the huge VP, Andrew Wilson, sold all of his shares in EA?
No, I don't remember hearing that.
Andrew Wilson, who looks like he might be a couple of pancakes short of a stack, sold $687,000 worth of stock after Madden Maker's price bump. The stock hit its highest level in over a year this week as the publisher announced an extension to its lucrative FIFA soccer license and an exclusive multi-year agreement with Star Wars Games for core gamers. That apparently prompted EA Sports Executive Vice President Andrew Wilson to sell high, as yesterday he sold his entire stake in EA. This is reported by GameStop and Electronic Arts. Filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission notes that Wilson sold over 32,000 shares of EA, the entirety of his beneficial ownership in the publisher, by selling the shares at an average price of just over $21.42.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I can't imagine.
I can't imagine this is good. So he earned, again, $687,400 in the sale. An EA rep declined to comment on the sale. EA stock opened this week at $17.67 a share, and it closed on Friday at up more than 22% at $21.64 a share. Man, I should have sold mine while you're talking.
Yes. Exactly. I'm trying to think. I'm going to log in and see. I'm pretty sure I sold my EA stock last year.
I need to get on in there and get it done.
I need to check. Yeah. Wow.
I don't see this as a good thing. You sold your entire catalog, and that means you think it's as high as it's going to get, and they're having all this trouble. They're laying people off, and people are making, as Ginger's now calling it, shade comments at them. Wow. What is it? One of the guys said last week, Kabam, the executive at Kabam, said that the EA layoffs were Darwinism at work. I mean, it's juicy over there. Mm.
Yep. All right. Night of the Rabbit.
No. It does not need to be Night of Rabbits. No.
Night of the Rabbits. Yeah. All right. Pre-order the Night of the Rabbit on GOG.com and get Deponia for free. Take one step closer towards the enchanting hand-drawn mystery at Mouthwood. Daedalic Entertainment.
You don't want to know what it sounds like you said.
Mouthwood. I've got Mouthwood. Daedalic Entertainment is happy to announce starting today, May 13th. That was yesterday. You're just giving it to me today?
Yeah, that's how they roll.
May 13th, which is yesterday, the upcoming point-and-click adventure masterpiece, The Night of the Rabbit, is now available for pre-order at GOG.com. When ordering before release, players will additionally receive an exclusive bonus. By the way, release is May 29th. A free giftable copy of Deponia, Daedalic's award-winning cartoony comedy of errors adventure game extravaganza. That's two great point-and-click adventure games for the price of one.
Woo-hoo!
The Night of the Rabbit, priced at £14.99, euros, francs, lindens,
whatever
the little outline is, cookies, is a magical and mystical story about Jerry's journey to become a hero. Set in the beautiful realm of Mousewood, players will follow Jerry as well as White Rabbit, and will see the game coming to life with the help of colorful characters, a bit of magic, and a unique world to explore. Yay! Interested players can even engage with Matt Kemp and ask him direct questions because there's an exclusive online interview happening today over at GOG.com, GOG.com, so check it out. A pre-order copy of The Night of Rabbit comes with seven languages, including English dub, French, Polish, Czech, Russian, Spanish, and Brazilian Portuguese, and sub, whatever sub is. So, yay, subtitles, I'm guessing. Yay! So it's The Night of the Rabbit. Raw. And, dude, I know you think you're hot right there in that red shirt and black cap, but no. No.
She's got a whole 80s girl thing going. Isn't that something the girls used to wear in the 80s?
He had something going there that was not cute. All right, we are having issues with the OBS. But you know what? We're going to work around it. So, I'm hoping we're still on air. Am I still on air? Yeah, we're still on air. Okay.
All right. Okay. I just got an email from...
No sound. I lost all sound. Stop streaming.
You lost streaming?
Yeah. I'm reopening it.
I'm sorry. Oh, sorry, Ginger. I'm sorry.
Yay! We're back. Okay.
Thanks there, Amazon, for your stuff. Thank you. I don't need that, but thank you so much. You're so nice. You should see the face I'm making. Thanks. What is it, Amazon?
Thanks.
Sending out crazy emails. I'm like, why do I don't? I don't need that. And yes, my Trouble was fine. I didn't even play with that thing. I wanted. Remember the Troubles from Second Life? I wanted it. I was like, I must have the Trouble. Nah, I haven't even played with that thing yet. It went into my inventory, the inventory of Doom, and it has not come out yet.
I have a Trouble.
You forgot you had one too?
I don't think I got it.
You didn't get yourself a Trouble?
I don't think I got myself a Trouble.
You can have mine.
That's all right. That's all right. I don't want anything to have to digitally feed.
I don't think you have to feed them. They just kind of sit there, if I remember correctly. That's why I wasn't interested. He didn't do anything. Yeah. All right, back to news. Ginger, why don't you want a Trouble? I'm disturbed by that.
No. All right. I got another one.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. DC Universe Online gets a DLC. Yes, it does. DC Universe Online Origin Crisis DLC pack now available. I can press play over here. There we go. Press and play. Today, SOE releases the latest installment in the DC Universe Online DCUO Saga, Origin Crisis, and the 7th downloadable content, DLC pack. New high-level multiplayer and solo adventures will send players through alternate realities as they amend or alter the origins of their favorite heroes and villains. This is a little bit louder in my ear than I thought it was going to be. But I don't see a down. Anyways, what if Batman's parents had never died? Or if Superman teamed up with Lex Luthor? We wanted to explore the idea of time travel and really dig into these alternate realities, says Jens Andersen, creative director for DC Universe Online. We have selected some truly compelling narratives to explore in Origin Crisis, enabling players to alter the core motivations of their favorite heroes and villains and to see how the world changes as a result. In Origin Crisis, the space-time continuum has been compromised, and though Brainiac has been defeated, war rages on.
Oh, my
players
God.
Players battle through new raids and operations and fight alongside future Batman or future Lex Luthor in order to shift the balance of destiny for heroes and villains forever. The two will summon their forces in an attempt to modify fundamental events in the history of iconic characters and transform their futures. As the story unfolds, players gain access to an assortment of new multiplayer adventures and solo simulations. Yay! Alright, so we get two challenging new raids, two new hero origin operations, two new villain origin operations, iconic anomalies, new gear, including Tier 5 PBE gear and new iconic-inspired gear, new feats, new collections, and, of course, new trophies. And as always, the Origin Crisis DLC pack is a free download for the game's legendary members and is available for purchase to free and premium players via the PlayStation Network, the in-game marketplace for PC players via the DCUniverseOnline.com website. Ta-da!
All right, and with that, lovely peoples, it is time for us to go. I had a little game I was trying to get some information on, but they didn't give us any information. I hate when they do that. Why do they send stuff and then they send a paragraph or two?
I know. So they're like, look at this. It's so amazing.
The open
it's
the
trailer, but we're not going to give you anything else about it because we can't actually talk about it. We're not going to tell you where the website is. We're not going to tell you who actually made it, but look at this trailer.
See, I went to the website. There's not even a trailer, so I got nothing.
I hate the ones where the games are like named something. I pooped on a car or something like that. I'm like, that could be interesting. And then, you know, you go and Google that and you find everything but the game. Yeah.
Yes. All right, guys, we will be back later on tonight. We're still trying to confirm with our guest. Fingers crossed, because she'd be awesome. We will see you guys 9 p.m. Central Standard Time tonight. And, of course, tomorrow morning for more Lunch with Ginger and Corey. Stay out of trouble.
No, I take you to the dump. You're my queen. Take your town. I show you the sights, you know you wanna ride. I'm a garbage truck. Truck, truck, truck. People that's a mansion inside. Drive,
yeah. Drive.